Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello, I'm John Holmes. It's the One Show Show, the podcast that week by week takes the runt of television's litter to a canal in a bag and then throws it in, weighed down with incredulity and swearing. This is part two of this week's ep, so if you haven't already, why not go back and listen to part one first. With me, I'm Mark Haynes, and from the sketch group Awkward Silence, it's Ralph and Vivian. He was slightly obsessed with accents as well, Tom. He went for one line of questioning. They were interviewing Daisy Edgar Jones, weren't they? And her new film, what's it called? Where the Crawdads. Where the Crawdads. Whatever. Sing. I had to Google crawdad. I don't know whether it was a bird or a lobster. Yeah. Turns out
it's a cross between the two.
Turns out you can use that.
It's a generic name for birds and seafood.
Because Americans.
I didn't look it up because I thought it was just crayfish.
Yeah. That's what I thought. But then why are they singing?
It's a hole you do not want to go down. I spent more time on Ya Ya Ding Dong lyrics and sea birds than I ever want to again.
The Little Mermaid surely has a crayfish singing. I mean, it might be a lobster. It's hard to tell in the drawing. We can move on now. Now people won't have to write in to say, what about the Little Mermaid?
Yeah, that's true. Right. Harris Dickinson was the other guy, I think, wasn't it? He was the actor.
Yes.
They've shot the film in America. It's based on the best-selling book. You know, they're there to promote it, all the rest of it. And they obviously have sort of mastered the dialect from North Carolina, which Tom appears to think a little bit like William Shatner at his Stonehenge location of London. Mm. Tom went, you guys aren't from South America, are you?
Yes, that was amazing.
It's amazing. And as we can hear, you guys aren't from South America. Like, was it difficult to master that accent?
Really good.
Well, no.
And then Daisy Edgar Jones really pointedly said the word, you know, not said the words North Carolina, just so she wasn't implicit in the lumping together of somewhere in America and South America.
It was, because we had to do, obviously, a North Carolina accent. It would have been strange if we were both just, like, properly North London in the marsh, so...
I love the fact that they didn't have very much to say about the film or the two actors, who, unfairly, I've written down as Harris Thing and Daisy Someone. So, yeah. What they did very quickly is they latched onto the fact that Reese Witherspoon, unfortunately for them, was just a producer. But they went, do you know what? Reese Witherspoon, we've got these two losers in front of us from Watford. Not interesting. Reese Witherspoon, star. Let's ask questions about Reese Witherspoon. And they grasped at trying to get something.
And this film was a real passion project for Reese Witherspoon as well, who produced the film. Like, what was it like working with her?
Did you get accent tips from Reese Witherspoon?
Did she give you any accent tips or anything?
No, she didn't. She was very... I think she approved. I think she liked what we were doing.
Yeah, what was it like working with Reese Witherspoon?
Did you get time to work with Reese on set in the film?
She came to visit, didn't she?
Yeah.
What's fascinating about The One Show is obviously they've got this film, you know, that they're discussing and right in front of them, and they've got a fascinating story going on at the same time, which is that the author of the novel that it's based on, this film, is now accused of...
Whoa. I'm this podcast's lawyer, and I think what Ralph was about to say is that the author of this book is wanted for questioning by the Zambian government regarding a 1995 murder. He certainly didn't say that she was accused of murder herself. I really hope that clears things up. Now, back to the programme.
Murder?
What?
I don't know if you guys knew that. I
didn't know that.
Oh, what? Right, okay. So in the midst of all this is this story developing now about a murder, even though, by sheer coincidence, I think the novel and film are about a murder as well. And because it's The One Show and they must know about that, they cannot touch that with a barge pole because it will just even though it's fascinating, it will immediately change the tone of the conversation.
Amazing.
Yeah. So they have to talk about accents and Reese Witherspoon. But...
I mean, that's sort of amazing because I did think the actors sat there anxiously and it wasn't very warm. And when you find out something like that, you realise the actors are just sitting there thinking, I know the PR person said they're not going to ask us questions about that, but what if they do? Mate, you've got Tom Daly and Ronan Keating. Yeah. You're going to be fine, you know.
It could have been a Matt Baker, how do you sleep at night, you know, kind of...
I think, I mean, you're underestimating. You're doing them a disservice there because they were there with the hard-hitting questions, such as, what's the hardest thing to say in an American accent?
A gentle accent, I found.
And what was like the hardest thing to like say in an American accent?
Credit to Daisy Edgar-Jones for doing that great actress thing of saying, or our actor thing, where you give a story and someone goes, go on then, do it, and you go, no. So what was the hardest thing you had to say in a Carolina accent? She said, well, I had to say the line, get out of my lagoon, you terrified
low down dirty creep.
Yeah. Down dirty creep. And they went, oh, fantastic, that sounds so, will you do it for us? And she went, oh, I couldn't possibly. Oh, cheers.
I had to run out of a house and scream, get out of my lagoon, you low-down, dirty creep.
Oh, wow. That's a tongue twister itself. It is. Alone
and I kept
accent.
Going a wee bit Australian. That was the most challenging.
Can you still do it?
Oh, no, you can.
I got snapped into it again.
There was also a little bit of that no one picked up on, where Tom Daly said to her, when, you know, the accent questions had sort of run out by now.
Is this by any chance about months, John?
Yes, it is.
Yes,
it is. Yeah. This was glossed over, wasn't it?
Two suspicious men like us, John. We've been around the block.
That's right.
We notice discrepancies in people's stories. Yes, do carry on.
Yes, we do. You've been working with my husband, the actor Dustin Lance Black, said Tom Daly. You've seen more of him than I have, because he's been away filming, hasn't he? You filming in Canada for a year. And then Daisy went, we were in Calgary for 5 months. hang on.
And you've been working with my husband, Dustin Lance Black, on Under the Banner of Heaven over the last year. I actually think you've seen my husband more than I have in the last year, because you were in Canada for a whole year working on that, right?
Yeah, we were in Calgary for 5 months. Yeah.
Where has Dustin been for these 7 months? What's
going
on?
Trouble in Paradise. Yes.
Hello.
Just zoom into Tom Daly's face, realizing that his husband's been away for 7 more months than he should have been.
Making it clear it was a 12-month contract and everyone else had a 5. So hang on, it's weird, Dustin. I bumped into Daisy Edgar Jones the other day. That lying bitch, yeah? Do you know what, actually? It's funny you say about her, because I was just reading in one of the magazines. I've just thrown it out, though. But I was reading about her in one of the magazines, and apparently she can't count. How was she? Was she good? Classic showbiz axiom, always end your big interview with the big stars with a non-story about making a cupboard. the important thing... Absolutely, they nailed that on this interview. They absolutely nailed it. Credit to them.
To be fair, I'm quite proud of what I made. I have like this cupboard in my doorway that like shoes on my stairs, and I like tell everyone when they come in. I think I told you. I was like, made that, you know. But I spent so much time. I was like, you know, I made that one there.
You do feel proud though when you make.
I do feel proud. Yeah, like it's a lot to like do it from scratch. So yeah.
I'm good on you.
Cheers.
That's very good. Where the Crawdads Sing is in cinemas tomorrow.
Well, this is Harris's woodworking skill, right? Yeah, because apparently he likes to do stuff with his hands, I think, said Tom Daly, looking at them pointedly.
Pack it in, Tom. Fucking pack it in. Knock it on the head.
And Harris said, he once made a cupboard that, and I quote, it shoes all my stairs.
Shoes all my stairs, and I...
Moved on. Yeah. No. What, do you mean it stores all your shoes? No, it shoes all my stairs.
He did. A credit to him though for realizing that this story was not much of a story. That he'd obviously mentioned it in passing in the makeup room, and the researcher had gone, "Oh, that's hilarious," and thought. He thought, well, you know, that's going nowhere. And there it is, hanging in the air. So tell us a funny, interesting and poignant anecdote about a cupboard, please. Oh, God. One little thing from this show that I don't want us to miss before we move on is in the Commonwealth video, they had an interview with an elderly lady. And she had a man's voice, and it was amazing. And I was watching her old lady face move with a man's, deep man's voice coming out of her throat. And I thought I was watching sci-fi. It was absolutely brilliant.
And Judith, I'm not detecting a Birmingham accent from you.
Yes, I was born in Montreal. Canada has been involved since the very, very first Commonwealth Games. And that makes me just very, very proud.
Was she the same woman who had a completely impossible to define accent?
Yes.
A kind of half Canadian, half Scottish, but she wasn't on for long enough for anyone to work out where she might have been from. It was baffling.
Yeah, these are the Games volunteers who are from Birmingham and are going to be doing the Commonwealth Games. Yeah, in this odd film. Kian's 19, Judith, for it was she, 75. And yeah, and they did, you're absolutely right, they said she's from Canada. And then this inexplicable, and I'm surprised Tom Taylor didn't go, what sort of accent was that? I love accents, me. Have
Daisy,
you met
you
my husband? He was in Canada for a year. She's like, Jesus, I've been fucking him for 7 months. Because of my voice, he thinks I'm a man.
Yeah. 7 months of phone sex. Startling voice, absolutely startling.
Yeah.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Yeah. I did quite like the fact that they did have to reference the fact that the monarchy is really unpopular and the Commonwealth is crumbling.
So my grandparents are from Jamaica, one of 15 countries that still recognise the Queen as its head of state.
But on the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge's recent Caribbean tour, the Jamaican Prime Minister suggested his country may one day follow in the footsteps of Barbados, which last year declared itself a republic.
And I did feel that this show... It's almost like it had an editor who was very much on our side. And I enjoyed all of that. I enjoyed all the sort of, you know, the Jamaica trip went really badly for William and for Kate. I enjoyed all that. And then I enjoyed everybody coming forward and, you know, having lots of people from diverse backgrounds talk about why, you know, the Commonwealth and the Commonwealth Games are important to them. And I loved it. There was absolutely, they stripped out the white man's voice in it. And I was overjoyed. More of that, please. More, apart from two.
Because yeah. What they did was they were asking people clearly about the sporting of the Commonwealth Games, and all of the people of colour said the sporting and the coming together and the unity it shows is fantastic, but obviously it's very questionable historically how this came about. And they all said that, which again for the one show is pretty deep. And then they asked one white market trader and they said to him, is there still a place for a Commonwealth? And he just went, yes. And then that was his answer.
Is there still a place for the Commonwealth? Yes.
And the next guy just said, for sure.
For sure.
Yeah.
Right. Both of we'll these move on then, to the people of colour now.
Both of those interviews went on for, I would estimate, about 12 to 15 minutes, didn't they? They involved the word empire, greatest in the world, sun never set.
Terrible. You can't say that these days.
By the way, there was a nice bit when Tom was talking off the back of that, because there was that forced banter between him and Ronan about the, you know, when he was in the Commonwealth Games, when he was still in the womb, apparently. And then where he was reading the autocue and you go, yeah, okay, here's a presenter who's doing this for nearly the first time.
Yes.
And he actually said, if like me, you want to watch the Commonwealth Games, there's nothing.
Well, if you're like me and you're looking forward to watching the Commonwealth Games, there's nothing.
That was what he said. And then he picked it up and went, there's going to be a whopping 200 hours of live coverage. But no, nothing.
There's nothing. There's going to be a whopping 200 hours of live coverage across BBC 1, 2 and 3.
His intonation was phenomenal because, as you say, he was kind of reading an autocue for one of the first times possibly, but he was constantly kind of surprised at the words that were meeting his eyes. He was just veering violently between incredibly upbeat, often quite shocked, and deliberately theatrical. It was an amazing kind of roller coaster. It makes you appreciate what proper sort of presenters do. And you know, I include Ronan Keating. Ronan Keating was kind of pretty natural, pretty practiced. I don't know if he's presented the One Show before, but Tom Daley had this kind of rabbit in the headlights kind of look about him. Every word is kind of, oh my God, it's that, oh.
I mean, I thought as a good bit of presenting, I thought Greg James did a good bit of presenting. He was a better TV presenter than both Ronan and Tom Daley, but he was presenting a very, very confusing piece that didn't really make sense, and it took far too long to describe. The problem is when you describe something and they make the decision to cut back to the studio so that everyone sort of goes, there is going to be life after this. it might be that it's going on a bit too long. Very confusing thing that they're doing on Radio 1 about 20 jigsaw pieces hidden around the country, and he can't have his show back until he's collected them all and reassembled them in a frame in a lagoon in Brighton.
On and on this went.
I haven't been locked in, or I've not been put in an escape room or put in a camper van like I have been in the past. But every year we like to do something stupid for the sake of doing something stupid on The Breakfast Show to celebrate the start of the summer and the summer holidays. And this year I have been sacked as the presenter of the Radio 1 Breakfast Show. The only way I can get my show back is to win it back by, and go with me on this, completing an enormous floating jigsaw puzzle of the Radio 1 One logo. That, for no real reason, apart from it's just funny, is floating in a lagoon in Brighton. And I have to get the pieces of this jigsaw. Oh, the big twist, of course, is that the pieces of the jigsaw, 20 of them, are scattered around the UK. And I thought I was just head of logistics and just getting the listeners to help me bring them to this lagoon where I then have to go and put them in the frame. But no, there was a twist today because my producers, who I thought were my friends, clearly hate me. But as is the way with these sorts of things, if it's horrible for me, it's fun for the listeners. And I do love the listeners very much, and I hope they appreciate the extra effort that we're going to. Today, I saw a video of this amazing aquatic centre, the Sandwell Aquatic Centre here in Smethwick, which, as you said, has been purpose-built for the Commonwealth Games. There was a bit of the puzzle, an enormous piece of the puzzle. In fact, show me the piece of the puzzle. It's massive. The piece of the puzzle is enormous, and it's there. In fact, you can see it on screen there. So I thought, right, well, I'm in Brighton, so surely someone from Smethwick can come and collect it and then bring it to me. But no, I had to come here and not just swim and get it, but also dive and get it. And
on, and the listeners have got to help him, and then he's got to connect.
Do you think if you listen to Radio 1 and you're like a 17-year-old, you might be thinking, I'd like it if they played Mabel at some point, rather than report from a leisure centre about some complex thing, which we're only at most 2/20 of the way through.
And it was so Daisy and Harris as well, and they basically both passed out, and they were totally uninterested in, you know, in the way that I guess you get with live telly. You cut back hoping that all the people on the sofa are going to be watching and nodding along, and instead the two actors are just going, oh Jesus.
Well, at least they didn't ask us about the murder. But it was so dull. I thought it really had the vibe of like a crazy stag do for everyone's most boring friend. So everyone's talking about how we're going to get him to do something really daft, really going to embarrass him, but he's never done anything interesting enough to tell a story about. And everyone's sort of like, the first pint of the day comes out and goes, whoa, hey, it's going to be one of those. And there's like three total in the entire day, and one of them's on squash. But he was just kind of going, and because it's funny, they want me to, is it? You can't just say it's funny.
Yeah, he said, didn't he?
Pieces.
He said, we've put the, I've got to assemble it in a lagoon in Brighton because that's funny. No, of itself, not really, Greg.
It's like saying polite notice. No, we'll be the judge of that. We'll read the rest of the notice and see if it's polite.
They did a wonderful thing as well, which is after that. And this show, which has started off so promisingly, really crashed. After that, they decided to package a piece of Joe Lycett's BBC Two documentary about the Royal Academy Summer Exhibition, which, let me tell you, is a great doc. It's a really, really good doc. It's really worth watching, but a fascinating subject, and he does it really, really well. They decided to parcel that off as being like Joe Lycett had done a report for The One Show, and they took the opening sort of 3 minutes and just played it out.
If there's one thing I believe in, it's the superpower that creativity can be.
And literally everyone can compete to show their artistic superpowers at the Royal Academy Summer Exhibition, the world's largest open submission art contest. 15,000 artworks were submitted online this year, but only 1,500 have made the initial shortlist.
You can't just play another show.
It was plagiarism in plain sight, wasn't it?
Absolutely unacceptable. Yeah. You just sort of go, oh, well, you know, before we go, let's watch 5 minutes of the first episode of The Sopranos. it's like end of term. You can't just show. The funny thing is, the 3 minutes of it, I was like, this is everything The One Show should be. It was really entertaining and really sort of moved quickly, and it told a really good story. And Joe Lycett, obviously a good presenter, funny guy, really good with the public, really warm. I was thinking, this is everything The One Show should be. But you can't steal it. That's the thing. You can't steal it and go, but it fits here. I know, but it's someone else's.
You're right. That's exactly what they did. Joe was just presenting for them. No, not at all. All of that. And also, they gave away, you know, I don't need to watch the documentary enough. Yes. So I sort of know, I've seen all the nice bits.
Yep. Having a young child, we only got 2/3 of the way through. But thanks to The One Show, I know how it ends. Don't have to watch the last enjoyable 25 minutes that I've been saving for the last 3 days. Cheers, also, lads.
Cut to the reveal. Yeah, well, it was a beautiful drawing of a crab as well. I thought that was my favourite thing about the whole show. That drawing of a crab.
My style is photorealism or hyperrealism.
The quality of it and the detail, I've never seen anything like it.
Guy is a Ghanaian guy who does photorealism drawings with pencil, really, and he did one of the crab, as you're saying, into it, and something else. They were incredible. I mean, photorealistic pencil drawings that just looked brilliant, right? And he, right, didn't get through. Joe's on the phone to him, did you get through? And he's like, no, and I'm really quite upset. I'm sort of disappointed about that. And Joe's like, okay, let me just ring the old lady with the shit painting of some lightning she's done. Yeah. Did you get through? Yes. What? Compared to Ghanaian guy, it was shite. The only explanation for this is that the judges of the Royal Academy are racists. That's the only explanation.
I am not going to get into an argument on this show about what is and isn't art, but I would say technically reproducing what a camera can do is not as good as making up some lightning in your head and painting it out and going, that'll do. That's proper art. Art is not caring. Being a draftsman and a technician, no, not art. No. Not art. It's too good to be art.
Was it her story? I think it was her story that I loved, because she basically gone, I mean, I like teaching art to kids. And for a while, I entered their paintings into this thing. But this year, I just thought, fuck it, I'll go enter it myself.
I get the feeling you love art.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I love children to love art.
Yeah.
Every year, I put children's art into the summer exhibition. But I thought, this year, I'm going to try and do it for myself.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, this is the year where she actually gets something hung on the wall. But it was just great. There was no kind of, I've stopped being a teacher now. So obviously, that part of my life is behind me. It was just, I just decided not to send any of their stuff in. And I thought I painted this bit of lightning. I thought I'd send that in instead.
On the actual documentary, there's a lovely bit where they talk to one woman who does collage, and she'd done one which had all the years from 1993 crossed out and 2022 without a cross on it. And she said, I have been putting in work for something like 25 years, she said, and I've been rejected every single year. So this year, it's a big thing where I've got all the rejections, and there's the one that I might make it. And she broke it down. She said, for the first 10 years, she said, I wanted to be accepted because I wanted to feel like I was an artist. For the next 10 years, she said, I wanted to be accepted because I thought it would help me sell my work. She said, and for the last 5 years, I've just been submitting stuff out of spite. And then they rejected
it. My career.
It was such a good piece, and it was such a great documentary that actually, I mean, as annoying as it was to have it all spoiled, and as annoying it was for, you know, The One Show to fillet it into his none of the texture, but you know, the start and the end. It is nice to talk about it because it's a banging show and you really should see it. It's absolutely great. Right. Really
noted
loved
it. Yeah. Are you in the employ of big art? Is that what no, you're like? You're like William fucking Shatner. I'm trying to flog us your stuff now.
I've submitted this podcast to the Royal Academy as art. Let me tell you, it was rejected. Let me tell you, they didn't even listen.
can we just talk very quickly about the viewer messages that they chose out of the presumably thousands that came in? where we've just got time for some viewer messages. Somebody says they're looking forward to your film, Daisy and Harris. And another one says, well done for diving, Greg James. Good night.
Now, just time for some of your messages. Kim says, I'm so excited to see the film.
Talking Andy says, love the book, so I know I'll love the film.
Yeah, and Lewis says, well done, Greg, for completing the dive. Yes, well done.
Amazing.
Greg, that's it.
It's also become such a key part of the show to the people who are making it that the following day, they were like, we're really sorry, we don't have time for your messages at the end of this show. And it's like, oh, yes, because the gold has been lost.
It's the only reason to tune in for those messages. Why have you forsaken them?
People writing and go, I'm watching the telly.
there was a couple
I can
of bits
see you
on that show that were magic. One was about video games being included in the Commonwealth Games, and Alex made it very clear she was against that being done. She was very dismissive.
And we're keeping with the sporting theme now, or are we? Because we're talking about video gaming.
Well, it's being piloted alongside This Year's Commonwealth Games in the hope that they'll be included in the future. Well, whatever, bring on the medals, isn't it?
And when the video started, she'd actually voiced that video in a really upbeat way. So you realise that by the end of the film, having voiced it, she'd gone, no, I think it's shit.
Esports is a fast-growing international phenomenon.
It's funny how people are like, I really don't want, you know, video games in the Commonwealth Games. They're not getting rid of hurdles to put in computer games. It'll be an extra thing. So it's nothing to get upset about them being in. But watching this, I've always been like, well, of course, you know, e-games, fine. You know, it's great to have competition. It's all good. Watching this video, I did think I was wrong and they shouldn't have them. I thought it was boring. I didn't like the people who took part in it. I thought they were up themselves. One of them said, I train for 6 or 7 hours a day, you know, like you would a full-time job, which is what this is. And I was like,
No. Didn't they say they work at it for 7 hours a day like an athlete? And it's like, no. I mean, everyone works for about 7 hours a day. That doesn't make you an athlete. You know, it's not a sport just because you spend 7 hours a day doing it.
Players are known by their game names. Like 20-year-old Takara, an England Rocket League team player who also plays professionally.
I train 6 or 7 hours a day, the same as you would a full-time job, because for me, that's what this is.
Alex was explaining what the games were, like she was having to read it in French and didn't know how it was going to sound to the viewers. This one's football, but with rocket-powered game. Absolutely confusing.
The second is eFootball Series, a single-player football simulation game. And the third is Rocket League. This is football, but with rocket-powered cars. Two teams of three are pitted against one another, and they score points by scoring goals.
There was a voiceover bit with one of their managers. It's hard to say coach, isn't it? Because coaching is just going, Enabler. He said they have to fit social contact around their sport time. They don't. They don't.
Yeah, you're all right, mate.
To be world class, the players have to make sure they fit physical activity and social contact around their screen time.
He said the key thing is to work on the nutrition and the sleep.
Tada is the team's coach.
If you work on the nutrition, the sleep, everything like that, you're going to start to get to the peak performance.
And I'd have loved it if he'd have opened his bag and it's just full of Pringles, ramen noodles. Yeah. All of them staying up on the dark web until 4 a.m. Lovely. Oh, well done. Yeah, perfect.
That was it. They were trying to as much as they could sort of hint that they were sort of athletes of a different generation. Yeah. You know, the other. They're just, this is, well, Alex did, as you say, at the end, sum it up for the nation, and it just cut back to them, and she just said, well, We had a lot of discussion about that.
We had a lot of chat about that earlier, didn't we?
There was a lot of discussion over whether or not it is a sport.
They made the criminal decision to have a photograph taken like a real sports team as well. Yeah. And looking at that, I mean, best not do that because it does open them up to abuse because they're playing a role. And you look at it and you go, that isn't what athletics is. It's not what the Commonwealth Games is. You know, no one is arguing we should put competitive eaters in. No one is saying, let's see who the fattest person in the Commonwealth is, because, you know, it sort of seems like not sporty. And so when you see that sort of lined up, you go, this isn't the sport, is it? It's just playing games. Playing games. I'm all for people playing games. I just don't think you necessarily need to represent your country doing it.
I love the idea that my chance to represent my country hasn't gone. I've never been much of an athlete. I've sort of given up on the idea of I don't like football. I was never going to play. The idea that, you know, I love Dungeons and Dragons, but I don't actually want to represent Great Britain as a high elf. I just don't, you know. But that's amazing, though, Mark. Is that the magic of the one show, that this thing that you were previously in favour of, they've now managed to profile it, bring it to your attention in such a way that you now think, no, hang on.
In fairness, the bit that then followed it was about cricket. And I mean, I've never been that into cricket. But I think at the end of this, I was even less into it.
Which, funny enough, is exactly how we all feel about the one show, having watched it. Wasn't even into it, certainly less into it now.
But what a beautiful end they had to this show, which was they cut back after all of the talk of sport. And this was a full-on sports episode. In a way, I'd have given that to Tom Daly rather than Roman Kemp and Alex Jones. I think if you can do a full sports one, give it to the person who's got all those gold medals.
Yeah.
But we cut back to them with an old outside broadcast van, a BBC one. This beautiful sort of green goddess, that beautiful livery, olive green and just beautiful. It had been restored. And this was one of the same types of vans that would have filmed the World Cup 1966 final.
This is Mobile Control Room 21, MCR 21, one of the 10 vans built in 1963 so that the BBC could cover more outside broadcasts, including great sporting events like the 1966 World Cup.
And here is Harry Coventry, who worked in the van as a cameraman. They showed us a clip. Clearly wasn't taken from the van. Clearly that was taken from the stands itself.
Yeah.
But the wonderful moment. You think, you know, you're not going to get it in two shows. Alex asks the key one show question. What was it like? She said, which was amazing.
Harry, welcome. Thank you so much for being with us. What was it like then working on the 1966 World Cup? The footage that we've just seen there.
But what was really charming about this, they were talking about how this was a game changer and it changed the way we watch television and everything like that. And they were talking about this old fashioned tech when suddenly Harry Coventry's hands began glitching and then it flashed forward. There was a sudden split second screen of a funeral and then it went back. And it was like, you're talking about this old sort of like start of technology. And here we are in the modern day, absolutely incapable of making it work and getting it right. It was a funeral. It turned out to be he'd been the cameraman at Winston Churchill's funeral. Yeah. And so then they showed a little clip of that, you know, that he'd filmed. And I was thinking, it's mad that funerals used to go out on television. And I was thinking about it. I was thinking, the last funeral we had go out on TV was Margaret Thatcher's. Did we have Prince Philip's as well?
We must have at least had a highlights package.
Match of the day version. Yeah,
it's madness.
Presented by Joe Lycett.
Ooh. Oh, it's Tom Daly. Tom, what did you think about the death of Prince Philip? Oh, I'm disappointed he wasn't buried in little trunks.
Yeah. Oh, come on, Tom.
But they finished up this show by saying, we're looking for 100 objects to mark 100 years of the BBC. And they said, did you shut that door on the Generation Game? Did you win a blankety-blank checkbook and pen?
Look, now, the MCRT is part of the BBC's collection of 100 objects to mark its 100th birthday later this year. The One Show is joining the celebrations, and we'd love to hear from you. Did you have your 15 minutes of fame appearing on any of the BBC's best-known TV shows in the 70s, 80s and 90s, but never got to see it on the telly?
Yeah. Well, did you shut that door on the Generation Game? Find your old vases worth a few bob in the Antiques Roadshow, or did you win a blankety-blank checkbook and pen? Possibly. If so, get in touch.
And I just felt, as they were saying those, especially over the "did you shut that door on the Generation Game," the looming spectre of did Jim fix it yeah, for you? And that seemed like the go-to one. And all those ones they can no longer go to. We're now going, do you know who's acceptable? Larry Grayson. Larry yeah. Grayson. That will be the thing that the kids will go, oh, yeah, I recognise that catchphrase from the prehistoric era. Amazing. 100 objects to mark 100 years of the BBC. John? This podcast will also be being put forward.
I think so.
Yeah, to the one show.
Yeah, in many ways, this is representative, if of nothing else, of an era of television at 7 o'clock on a weekday evening that should actually simply be the sole reason the license fee is stopped. And there we must bring all of this to an end, because we watched The One Show and thus had an absolutely horrible time. But you can have a lovely time by coming to see us do this thing live at the London Podcast Festival. That's right, Mark and myself, special guests TBA. We'll be doing The Other One Show live on stage at that festival September the 16th. Details and tickets at kingsplace.co.uk.
All I'm going to say, John, yeah. Brown girls do it too.
Yes, can't do it because no, that happens to be Rabina's birthday, and she's away in Margate.
They're double booked, yeah.
Yeah, but they were top of our list. Anyway, while you're remembering to... We'll get someone else. While you're remembering to do... They won't be as good. Remembering to do that, remember this and remember it well when you look at the television to look at The One Show. The One Show also looks back into you. Goodbye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.